Why should I use an outsourced IT provider? Many businesses may ask if they should hire an outsourced IT provider to manage their company's information technology. Hiring an IT provider is similar to why you would hire an outsourced payroll provider or an accounting firm. It lets the business focus on all the things you need to be successful without having to worry about day-to-day IT tasks or meltdowns, even if you have a good knowledge of IT practices. This is especially true for the legal cannabis industry, which has unique challenges and hefty regulations for growers, distributors, and dispensaries in the cannabis industry. To help us better understand why an IT provider is beneficial and what to look for in a provider, we have Steve Arndt, president of Cannabis Technology Partners, a division of Silver Linings Technology, and Greg Schenefeldt, help desk coordinator at Cannabis Technology Partners, today on Small Business Talks.
Today we're going to be talking about IT outsourced providers. And the big question is, why should I use an IT outsourced provider? To help us kind of walk through that and answer some of the questions about that, we have Steve Arndt, who's president of Cannabis Technology Partners, which is a part of Silver Linings Technology, and Greg Schenefeldt, who's the help desk coordinator. So, gentlemen, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
Good. Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Pleasure having you on. So let's just start with the question right out of the box. Why should I use an IT outsourced provider?
There's a lot of great reasons to use an outsourced provider. Number one, it just lets you focus on all the things that you need to do to make your business successful without having to worry about IT day-to-day meltdowns or tasks, even when you do have like a deep vested knowledge in IT practices.
You know, I'll jump in and add a few things to it. I mean, why would you hire an outsourced payroll provider? Or why would you hire an outsourced accounting provider? You know, in either one of those cases, you're doing it, number one, to buy yourself time, as Greg said, but also you're trying to hire an expert that can do it a lot faster and in theory a lot cheaper than in-house. And again, time is money, so faster definitely helps. IT is even different from those things in that if either one of those functions has a delay, typically, right, payroll, you've got, you know, one day that's really critical, but 2 weeks or not. Accounting, you've got a month or, you know, definitely some leeway. But with IT, I mean, you want somebody that's there reacting to internet outages and things that are going to affect operations right away. So, gosh, having somebody on the hook that's taking care of those problems right away when who knows what you're doing, that's gold.
That's a great statement because I want to ask you, what do you do when you get the person that says, I have an IT background and an aptitude. Why should I hire an outside firm? I know it all.
Mm-hmm. So why should you? Greg, any thoughts on that?
Well, you should hire the outsourced firm because these individuals are going to have specialized tools and expertise that you don't have access to in-house. And it's also really nice to know, hey, I have this critical thing happening and there's somebody on the other end that's already responded to it. We've got the providers involved. We're getting the service restored, which again, like Steve said, time is money and that brings your moneymaker right back up.
You know, can I jump in and add a few thoughts to that too? You know, I've done IT consulting for years and years and years, but what I've found kind of, you know, I create systems is really for an effective IT department. You need to kind of have four different skill sets in play, and a single person doesn't have the capacity to do and handle all of the things that an IT department itself needs to do. So when you talk about doing it in-house or you have an IT background, chances are you're doing a chunk of that stuff. There's probably a whole bunch of stuff that you're not doing, maybe compliance, maybe security, who knows, applications, that a team and especially an outsourced team where you've got predictable costs can handle for you and quite frankly, supplement. So it's not negative that you know how to do it. It's actually a much better team environment.
I like that because I think that's one of the things I've run across is just in whatever area you're in is you may have somebody as an expert, but it still doesn't mean you have all the time dedicated to it. Do you find a lot of companies that just, they don't have the bandwidth to be able to do this, and this kind of helps offset some of those?
Absolutely. And again, I'll go back to the payroll or the accounting. A lot of times you don't know what you don't know. And, you know, with a good outsourced IT provider, they're going to fill the gaps and help educate you along the way. And the minute you kind of go through a couple of those iterations, you go, gee, you know, oh my gosh, of course I should have done that before. So
I'm going to change the subject a little bit, and I'm going to ask and then make a statement. Are all IT service providers the same? And I'm going to throw a little note in here that Steve wrote a book on this. So I'm going to have, so that as a little something you might want to throw in there if you want.
Well, I definitely don't think all are the same. Part of it has to do with, you know, where did they come from? What's their orientation? So a lot of what's called MSPs or IT service providers, they grew out of this idea that there was a strong technical person, and they didn't like working for anybody else. So they start their own company. Great. I'm all excited about that. But they're very narrowly focused on the tech itself. So you'll hear them talk about, you know, how many PCs you got or how many servers. And it's all about the tech. Versus other firms, for instance, that and like ours, for instance, you know, I'm a CIO in background. And that's, you think, well, CIO is tech. No, it's really business. How does business work? And what do you do with the tech to operate effectively in business and at costs? So those themselves are two different, vastly different perspectives. And quite frankly, there are a number of others. So really, not all firms are the same. And really, you need to look for one that aligns with perhaps gaps that you guys have so that they can supplement those. Obviously, pricing is all across the board. So you need to really understand what the pricing is. It may seem like one is more expensive, but perhaps they're offering security and compliance and other things on top of it, or 24/7 support versus another one that you're getting bare bones, right? And you don't really, you know until something goes outside of those bounds and you have to pay more for it. So lots of differences. They're definitely not all created the same. Greg, do you have any things to supplement that?
Yeah, I would say that there's definitely, like you said, there's those people that are only focused on the tech, and then they forget about the service aspect here, helping you alleviate pressures that you're feeling in your day-to-day environment, or just keeping you ahead of those things, right? It's great to go to bed at night and not worry, hey, is my email secure? Are my PCs safe? And to have somebody just, again, get on the phone and have that human one-on-one connection and conversation with, and it not be so tech-driven.
I want to add one other little point that I think is super important, and this, that's the difference between proactive and reactive. So there are a lot of firms that are reactive for you, but most businesses, don't you want somebody that's proactive? Don't you want people that are preventing the security flaws from coming in rather than just reacting to them? I mean, you got to do both. I get it. But there's a lot to be said for having a proactive firm as your partner.
What I'm hearing from this conversation is that it also sounds like it's a little bit of on the person that's approaching an IT service provider to kind of before just instead of just going online and just looking at the different web pages, that they should really kind of have a meeting with the company and kind of go through and review the things that they have instead of just picking one, you know, because they have a nice color on their website.
No question about that. I mean, and quite frankly, in business, that's what you ought to be doing with all your experts. You know, I would love to say, oh, just IT, but gosh, I hope you're having a conversation with your attorney and they're educating you on what you need and why. And again, your accountant, your marketing person, all of those should be value added resources, not just transactional added resources for you to gain the most leverage. And quite frankly, cannabis business is hard. Now, this is not an easy business. It may be easy to get into and seem opportunistic right now, but you know, there are a lot of business pressures and things that are going on. You want as many people on your side as possible.
That brings up a good question. When you talk about the cannabis, you know, business side of things, that's got to have different challenges and different approaches than would be any other type of business. I mean, every business has their own unique thing, but maybe you could describe some of the things that are, you know, unique to the cannabis industry in regards to IT.
Yeah. So there have been many folks that have kind of posited the cannabis industry as the most regulated industry, even compared to drug companies and such, or hospitals and things like that. And from my experience, I've seen that. So you've got, I mean, not even tobacco. Do you have to track the product, the tobacco product, from when it comes out of the ground all the way through to when it's produced as a cigar or a cigarette, alcohol, the same thing. But with cannabis, we've got to track the product all the way through. You're regulated to do that. But not only that, every state's regulations are slightly different. So you've got to not just know, oh, the general, you have to know very specific, where are you operating? Every single one of the states mandates some sort of surveillance of the product. So not only do you have to track it in terms of data points and what happens, you also have to show visual proof of what took place with the product itself all the way through your organization. So those two things are huge. And quite frankly, those are the two things that get most of the cannabis organizations in trouble. I mean, in business, you can get in trouble for a lot of things. There are other things that certainly are compliance requirements. But from a technology perspective, you got to nail those two things. And surveillance is the perfect example where the surveillance industry, as it's been for the last 20 years, really hasn't been positioned well to do that. The traditional surveillance provider is a reseller of equipment, an installer, and then they kind of walk away, hands off, you know, it's done. They also don't typically think of the network as a whole. I mean, yeah, their devices sit on the network, but, you know, if it's the network's fault, again, they throw up their hands. So having kind of a full service provider that understands that and isn't just going to, well, you know, I'm sorry, that's not our thing, but literally take ownership of the technology all the way through to this idea of making sure you're fully compliant and responding correctly when there's an outage or something else, that's a huge thing in cannabis and a requirement. And most people don't get that until they get burned and get burned by fines or theft or something else. So it's not a good lesson.
I think one of the things I was impressed with was before our interview, I just went out just to look around on the internet, and I laugh how many companies were sort of like they focus on their core IT. And then they have one page that talks about cannabis. And the one thing, not to be so self-promotional, but the one thing I did notice is that your focus is really in cannabis technology partners is really about the cannabis industry. I mean, it's really a strong focus in there.
Yeah, you know, when we chose to get into the cannabis industry, you know, and again, this goes back to the strategic side and the big picture side of things, the business things. You know, I love that and figuring that stuff out. But I'm also always about taking ownership. I don't expect, number one, I don't expect our clients to love, like, or be good at technology. If they were, again, it goes back to the first question, why should you hire us? Well, yeah, I think there's valid reasons, but most of them, these aren't the strengths, and quite frankly, not their focus as well. So for us to know what the compliance requirements are, and to provide that information, again, that's value to our clients to understand the full life cycle. And cannabis is fascinating, even more so than alcohol and some other stuff, because quite frankly, now with infusion and manufacturing, I mean, cannabis is in everything, and not just edibles and consumables, but right, health products, right? You've got rubs and you've got other things that the product is used for. It's kind of like an ingredient like sugar, which, you know, ends up in everything all over, only now you have to track it.
Yeah.
Right? You have to know where it's at, and every state's different. So it's fascinating. It's a lot of fun for somebody that likes chaos, and somebody wouldn't get into IT consulting if they didn't like chaos. So
there you go. I got to ask you a question because I don't want to say anything negative, but I also want to say something like, what do you tell the person when they come to you with a question like, well, we're just a startup company and we don't have, you know, a lot of, we don't know if we can really afford it. We don't know if we really need it because we're just starting out. Do you need to be more mature business before you get IT? How do you handle a person that thinks that maybe they're not ready for it or that that's something you put down the road?
It's about letting them know that it's an investment. Sure, you know, if you're first starting out, you're a baby company, you don't have $1 million sitting in the bank or $20,000 a month to spend in focus areas. But if you focus and drill down on your IT investments, it's going to keep you ahead of all the curves, right? So anything that could happen, like Steve said, is being proactive. We're going to keep all of that stuff kind of there in working order all the time. And you're not going to have to worry about as you grow and add more things, are you going to have an IT meltdown today? Is it all going to break?
Yeah, I'm going to echo that with the simple thought that there's so many firms that we've come in at later on that had delayed IT involvement, and we're kind of having to redo some stuff and educate them, go, you know, you didn't need to spend that much on these licenses because you could have deferred that or you could have done this a different way early on. So even in a practical sense, I think involving a firm or even, you know, just to get some advice around it, some good solid advice around startup IT, you realize that there's a dollar savings and also a prioritization of when things have to occur versus when it's sexy to occur. And interestingly enough, I'll just give everybody a real practical example. Nowadays, if you're going to start a business and you don't have your own domain and your own email with that domain, you're doing an at Hotmail or at Gmail or whatever, you might as well kiss it goodbye from a brand perspective. You're giving it away. You also really don't own the data that's in those email platforms. You think you do, but it's not your name on it. It's Gmail or Hotmail or Outlook.com. That's their platform. So simple things like that can really make a big difference as you're going down the road. That's what you ought to do, but there's many things that you shouldn't necessarily do early on. It may not be necessary.
Do you ever get a lot of people that say, well, we don't have any problems, so why should we hire? obviously I hit a nerve there. But you know what I mean? The person, well, we don't need this because nothing's broken. And I know that's so crazy, but you obviously run across that where people do.
Yeah. So last year I did, honestly, a series of talks at different events, and I pulled out some statistics that I gave there. So one of them was you realize that 31% of organizations have already experienced a cyber attack. 31%, a third of all organizations. Okay. 43% of all cyber attacks are aimed at small business. So we keep thinking about the MGMs and all that other stuff, but almost half are aimed at small business. Ransomware attacks are now growing at 350% annually. So a huge number there. Quite to the extent that cybercrime is more profitable globally than the entire illegal drug trade.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Wow. This is big. 66% of businesses that have been attacked by hackers, 66% weren't confident that they could recover, stay in business. Okay. Two thirds. That's mind boggling in itself. Okay. 60% of small businesses go out of business within 6 months after a cyber attack. So when people say, oh, things are going well, we don't really need anything complex. You know, number one, we go back to compliance. And I'll tell you this, with an IT firm or an IT department and things are going well and they're proactive and you know that they're taking care of things, that's great, right? And you should be thankful for every cent you put in there because things are smooth. But if you're not doing all those things and things are smooth, all you've done is got lucky, right? And with the automation that hackers are using, constant attacks, it's not if you're going to, it's when you're going to get attacked. So, and I don't mean to be scare tactics and all that, but that's the world we live in.
It's the reality of it. It's the reality of it. I heard a speaker once he made a statement that I really liked. Was he said, and you brought this up about everybody thinks it's all big business that, you know, hackers go after. And the gentleman said, it's just like stealing cars. They don't care if it's a Rolls Royce or a Chevy. If the door's unlocked, i.e. if you're bad security, they're just going to hack into it because they're not looking for what model. They're looking for anything available.
Yep.
No, I'm wondering, is the real question then, how do you know is your business safe without an IT firm?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That is a good question, because I think, especially when you have those kind of numbers, obviously people are going through all the questions that I had was, well, everything's going fine because we don't know it, or we can't afford it, or we're too small. And they don't.
So again, I'm going to go back to that analogy too of accountants. It just boggles my mind. Almost every company I talk to have hired an outside accounting firm. And you ask them, well, do you not know how to do your books, or what? Why is that? And the response is, I'm afraid if I get audited. Well, what is the percentage of companies that actually get audited, right, year after year, or even over a 10-year period? It's like 1 or 2%. I mean, it's a very, very small number. And again, I'm not saying don't do that, but the value of fear to threat is vastly different. And here we're talking about, again, things that affect operations immediately on a daily basis, whether it's just something like an internet outage. But boy, I would certainly want somebody on the hook if a cyber attack occurred, to know exactly what to do, when to do it, how to react, and how to recover the business, than picking up the phone and now calling for IT help or security help after the fact.
It sounds like something else that you offer is that, or that you're recommending also, is that, you know, when I mentioned about the small company, they don't think they're ready for something yet. Wouldn't it be a good idea to have a long-term relationship, because the IT company is going to be able to, the IT service provider is going to grow with your business because they see the changes, they see the things, and they can kind of grow with you type scenario.
Yeah, I think, I absolutely agree with that. And this kind of goes back to picking the IT firm, right? So you could say that same thing of the guy that's down the street and has one person in his company, and maybe he's growing, but does he really? I would hope your IT firm knows and works with companies bigger than yours already, so they can help you get to that next stage, not just growing with you. Does that make sense?
No, distinction? That does. That does. In fact, it's a perfect segue into the next question, which is, if I hired a firm, how would I know if they're performing or adding value to my company? How do I know I'm getting my money's worth?
Well, this is really easy to determine, I think. If you are not always just thinking about the numbers that they perform, but how fast do they respond to your calls, right, when something goes wrong? Or how satisfied are you with their day-to-day solutions? Are you getting a solution from them and going, oh my gosh, it fixed it for now, but it's going to break again later? Or are you getting solutions that say, wow, they really thought about this problem and solved this for us? And then again, back to what Steve was just saying, are they helping your business grow in the right direction? It's every day that I talk to one of our smaller clients and the relief they feel when I go, hey, we could do this to save you some money, or hey, preemptively, we should do this thing. It'll get you ahead. It's nice for them to know at the end of the day that I'm already thinking about these things for them.
I'm going to also add bits to that because, you know, clearly a company needs to provide you data on what's happening. What are they doing? And again, the best data is to come back and say, look, we upgraded your firmware every month. We had 12 tickets, but there were no incidents, right? And you go, well, great. You know, I'm paying for those kind of results. But there's also, again, this mentorship and partnership that, again, just a pure computer geek may not give you. You go to Geek Squad, they're going to focus on the computer. So, again, as we said before, are they adding business value? Are they? And there's many times that, you know, I've come to a client and said, you're not ready. You don't need to spend money on this yet. or there's a different alternative to solve the problem that may be less expensive. Because again, I'm pretending like I own your company, and you know, do I want to spend money? No, I'm cheap as anybody else. You know, I want to get value out of the things that are there. So again, that proactive. I'm going to make one little point, because sometimes this gets lost in sight. And this is going to sound weird, but from a help desk perspective, pure help desk, that's almost a no-win scenario to break even. And what I mean by that is, think of payroll, for instance. Nobody thinks about all of the work that goes into payroll as long as they get their paycheck. But the minute they don't get their paycheck, or it's wrong, at that damn payroll department, they can't get anything right, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's just, you know, the world's ending. So a help desk is kind of like that. We or anybody tries to mitigate that by being, number one, very responsive, solving the problem in what a user would feel like is a timely manner. But if you're doing that all the time, there is always going to be something that slips through, or somebody that's, it wasn't as fast as they thought it should be, or dang it, they thought that their mouse twittering was more important than an internet outage, and you know, can't believe that you didn't respond to that. So my point is, help desk is break even. And if that's all you're getting, then you're going to have to measure one company's in terms of satisfaction. But really, where the value of IT is, that whole other layer of, again, business side. Well, are you running the right applications? Or, you know, do you have the right internet speeds? You know, asking those questions. Do we have the right security things in place? Is the right time for this? Or how do we do these other things? All those business changing questions, that's where the real value is. And that's the gold. You know, that's what you're looking for. And that's what you need. Even if you know IT, you know that's what you need.
For people that have some interest in what they're hearing, what's a good way for a new person that's never had an IT provider before? What's a good step for them to be able to go to a IT provider, an IT service provider, and what's the path they're taking? In other words, should they have certain things set up, or should they have things prepared to talk about, or should they just call up and say, what do you do?
I think the onus is on you to ask really good questions, not necessarily know the answers or have a preconception. You know, again, if you're a startup business, so somebody comes to me and says, well, you know, I'm getting ready to open a cannabis retail store. What should I do? My answer is going to be, well, you know, number one, if you're going to open a store, we know that there's some compliance requirements around it. You're going to have some security cameras. Obviously, you're going to run applications. So we need to have applications in a network. Some things that may or may not be in, right? Do you want a telephone? There are a lot of businesses nowadays that actually don't have a telephone, or they're operating off of a cell phone, which is fine. But maybe they want a business number that's not tied to a person, but not necessarily a telephone system. So now we reserve the number and point it to somebody's cell phone and that person. So there's a lot of things that I'm going to ask back. And I think, really, to answer your question, you go in and ask lots of questions. And I'm hoping, and what you should be looking for, is somebody that's going to ask as many questions back at you and challenge you on how your business should operate, how you want it to operate, what your end goals are. And if you're not being challenged about that, maybe that should be a red flag. Does that answer make sense?
Yes, that does. That does quite a bit. Everything that we've talked about has been incredible. I mean, this has been a really great podcast, and some great answers, and a lot of, I think, knowledge to people that maybe are new to this, or even maybe have experience in this area. I'm going to leave the last 2 minutes up to both of you to, is there anything else you feel that we didn't cover, or something that maybe you'd like to kind of share with people that, you know, they're hearing about this, why you need an IT management, you know, provider, anything that we missed?
Yeah, I think that I would just want to say that the relationship that you can build with an IT firm is invaluable. I think having the ability to just shoot somebody a text or an email and say, hey, I have this idea. Is there a limit, or is there a way we can make this happen? And you know, being able to just figure out what's new, what keeps me ahead, what keeps me fresh at any time it's priceless.
And I guess I'm going to jump in and emphasize that with any business relationship where you're involving a partner, and again, legal, accounting, IT, whatever it is, construction, I think you want to look for a person or a team that owns the issue and is accountable to the issue, that doesn't shy away and start making excuses about this thing or the other. You know, I want people that are responsible and accountable that work for me, whether they're internal, external vendors or anything like that. And that's going to help you be successful.
I think that sounds excellent. That sounds like a great idea. Well, again, gentlemen, Steve, Greg, thank you very much for sharing your knowledge and helping us learn a little bit more about all the intricacies that we need to know about.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Is there any way we can get in touch with you?
Sure. You know, our website is cannabistechnologypartners.com. You could email sarndt at cannabistechnologypartners.com, sales@cannabistechnologypartners.com. If you don't want to talk to me and want to talk to Greg, then gshenefelt@cannabistechnologypartners.com, and you'll reach us. That's probably the best way to get on. Woohoo!
And we'll put the information in the show notes at the bottom of the podcast as well.
Fantastic.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for all your information. And again, thank you for being on the podcast.
Great. Thank you for having us, Neil.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to bring information and insights to small businesses to help you succeed. We don't monetize our podcast with advertising, and ask that if you like the podcast, to please subscribe to our channel and tell a friend. If you have a question or an idea for a topic, please contact us at the email link in the show notes.